Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for all your blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I thank you, Father God, for those who came out to sit in your presence, to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father God, that your angelic hosts are walking to and fro throughout these chairs this morning, ministering to your people, meeting every need. And Father God, I thank you for changing and rearranging our lives so that we are lined up with you, so we can complete our destiny in you. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Second day of revival. What we're supposed to be doing is being revived, right? I don't know when God's going to quit reviving us. I think it's time we just start walking into miracles, right? We've been sitting under being revived for way too long now. I don't know about you, but now I want something else to happen. Amen. I want to talk about the wheat, the chaff, and the fire tonight, this morning. 1 Peter 5:1-11 says, "The elders who are among you I exhort." Who's he talking to? The elders who are among you. "I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." He says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." You understand all that? He's talking to you guys. To us, I should say. "Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." See that? Read that again. "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now y'all have that down in your spirit. Now you've been suffering. Now I believe it's time that he perfects and establishes and strengthens and settles you. Acts 20:28 says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Now let's read this again. Now, see, God is talking to people who are leaders. Let's start that again. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." Now look what he says in verse 9. "For I know this, that after my departure," you know, he takes his anointing and leaves, "savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." See that? "Also from among yourselves men will rise up," in the church, "speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." There's always going to be those in the house of God who's going to try to draw people away to themselves. "Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." How did he do it? With tears. "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." There you go. For 3 years, he ministered to those people, he said, with tears. And as I was sitting there, for some reason or other, popped in my head that when I was first born again in 77, God told me that we were living in the days of Noah. And Noah preached for, 120 years, and not a soul got saved. It was just him and his family and some animals went into that ark. Nobody else went in there with him. 120 years of preaching the gospel, and nobody got saved. Isn't that awful? Same thing's going on today. People are still sitting in the house of God, not saved, living one way for the church and another way when they leave the church, and that's not godly. God told me we are living in the days of Noah, is what he told me. So guys, the same things that were going on back in the days of Noah are going on right now. Now this church, God's been trying to raise up leaders in this church that you will be perfected, that you will walk in holiness and purity of heart, and you walk in righteousness, and he's going to be able to send you out there to the lost and dying souls, or bring them in the house of God. This is supposed to be a hospital. God had me put the sign up years ago, Refuge in the Storm. So that means everybody should be able to safely come into this sanctuary and not worry about being molested in any way, shape, or form. You know, by that I mean gossip, bitterness, anger, lust, perversion. They should be able to come in because God said, put up the sign, Refuge in the Storm. So that means this is a safe haven where you can come in and be protected by the darkness that's in the world. I don't see that happening. There's too much that goes on inside this church. It should never go on in these four walls. Listen to what I'm saying to you this morning. This was really my evening message. I had the morning one all done, and then I worked on this one at 5 o'clock this morning. God said, I want this one done this morning. That's all righty. So we shifted gears, okay? All right, with what we just read, with this in mind, I want to share a vision a prophet had. And Matthew 3:11-12 says, John the Baptist speaking here, says, I indeed, he's talking to the people, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He's talking about Jesus. Now, A prophet had a vision that he was sitting on the threshing floor. A pressing cry came 3 times, let the chaff go and the wheat remain. God spoke and said, if I blow away the chaff, where will it go? Then the prophet saw a lake of fire. It looked like a forest fire burning at a low level. The flames were not leaping high, but were constant, and the wind was constantly blowing on them, keeping them at an intense heat. The flames were fueled by the substance they were burning on, which seemed like thick. The flames were fueled by the substance they were burning on, which seemed like thick oil. Then he saw the fire being held back. Now listen to this. Then he saw the fire being held back. There had been something built up that held back the fire. I want you to really get this in your spirits, you leaders. The prophet heard only one word, holiness. With this word came the understanding that as the people of God pursue holiness, it is as if they are all turned with their backs to the fire, and they became the wall that holds the fire back. You see that? Let's read that again. The prophet heard only one word. Well, let's go up here, the flames. The flames were fueled by the substance they were burning on which seemed like thick oil. Then he saw the fire being held back. There had been something built up that held back the fire. The prophet heard only one word, holiness. With this word came the understanding that as the people of God, that's you and I, pursue holiness, It is as if they are all turned with their backs to the fire, and they become the wall that holds the fire back. So if we will pursue holiness, and if we will do the walk in righteousness, then we will be able to hold back that fire that's trying to destroy the chaff. The prophet saw that the pursuit of holiness allows the river of God to flow. The pursuit of holiness allows the river of God to flow. It keeps his people cool and flows over those around them, a cooling, healing stream. The prophet said that the people of God had become trees of righteousness and were beginning to release life and healing. See, becoming trees. Remember, we talked about trees. Trees of righteousness, and were beginning to release life and healing to those around them, and especially to those who were huddled together, terrified of the fire. Now, Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, "Blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and it will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. See that we're supposed to be yielding fruit. The prophet saw the lost. They were no longer ignorant, but were afraid as they saw the fire approaching, and also saw those who stood between them and the fire. Their eyes had been opened to their condition and their danger. Revelation 22:1 says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no light, no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. The angel said to me, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God." And he said to me, "Do not steal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come,' and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming quickly.' Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." That scripture is something that we should read over and over and over again. It tells who Christ is. It explains some life things to us that we need to get deep down into our spirit. God is no longer going to allow leaders to be in sin. God is causing the leaders to fall who are in sin. He is, what he said before, I'm lifting their skirts and I'm showing the darkness. Now, if you're still going to remain, become, or trying to become a leader, then you're going to have to work on holiness and purity of heart. You're going to have to work on walking in righteousness. You can no longer remain the same. Change is in the air, and God needs us to change. Not just for a second, but forever. You wonder why sometimes you really can't get into praise and worship, or you wonder why you really can't, you know, God isn't really moving in your life mightily. You need to start checking yourself out and see where you are not doing the things that God is calling you forth to do. And I can guarantee you that every time something's going to miss in your life, it's because you are not doing something that God has asked you to do. And holiness is where it's, God had me put that sign up, Be Ye Holy, when we first came into this building. I don't know how many years ago that's been. I don't think anybody looks at that sign, a picture, and sees anything. Because I don't see a holiness being worked out in the body of Christ. You know what? When you look at the church, when I look at the church, I see the world. Because the world has crept into the church mightily. And we're no, well, I'm not going to say me, the church is no different than the world. And this is why God is doing what he has to do. He has to make the church a safe haven. He has to make the church a place where people can come into and feel safe. Amen. Genesis 2:10 says, Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four riverheads. Then Ezekiel 47:1 says, Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. God always speaks about the living water in his word, and you have to have living water flowing through your vessel in order for you to be used mightily by the Father. Matthew 12:33 says, Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. I gave you my testimony where years and years ago now, I was in a big meeting, and I was a well-known pastor at that point, and the prophet came in from Florida and very loudly told me my tree was rotten, my fruit was rotten, and God was going to cut down my tree. At that point, my fruit was not rotten, but it became that way. All right, hurt upon hurt upon hurt heaped upon me, and I became a little bit bitter. And so what she prophesied was the truth. I didn't get upset with the prophetic word because I know that your prophetic word could be down the road. And when it hit me, then I had to work on getting my tree, my fruit, straightened out. And God said, he said, I'm going to cut down your tree, but I will regrow the tree. And this time the fruit others will be able to eat of. So maybe some of you in here today, maybe God has had to cut down your tree, or maybe he will have to cut down your tree. Let him go ahead and cut it down, because you don't want to bear any rotten fruit. Amen. The prophet saw the river before his feet. It was clear, and there were a few small fish swimming in it. But as he looked upstream, he saw smaller fish and larger fish coming. The prophet saw God's people standing in this place. Who was there? God's people standing in this place. Those in need coming and picking the fruit of these lives and putting it into their mouths. They were helping themselves to what the Lord had produced. The harvest had begun. And I thought about Egioma, I think that's how you pronounce her name. Last night, God showed me her sandwich was an open-faced sandwich, and people were coming eating from that sandwich, and her sandwich was pure. And so, you know, when I wrote this, I thought about her. So what did we say here? The prophet saw God's people standing in this place, and those in need coming and picking the fruit of these lives and putting it into their mouth. See, she's bearing good fruit, is what God was telling her last night. They were helping themselves to what the Lord had produced. He produced good fruit. Her tree produces good fruit. Are you guys understanding this? Come on. Romans 8:14-17. All right, so then I wrote, the harvest had begun. So in Egioma, the harvest has now begun in her. Now God will be able to send the lost and dying to her because she now has good fruit. And she'll save many souls. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We are the heirs of Jesus Christ. Why don't we act like that? Amen. You ever hear, you've all heard about how they try to pervert the women at Jesus' feet, saying all kind of stuff, saying he was homosexual and everything else. Why do they do that? That's the enemy. And he's trying to make us believe that Jesus was not perfect, but he was in all of his ways. And we're supposed to become just like Jesus. We're supposed to work at perfection all the days of our life. And we are not supposed to give in to the devil in any way, shape, or form. Are you listening? God's made a way of escape, so don't tell me you have to give in to this junk. The Word of God tells me he's made a way of escape, and we can escape those sinful thoughts and those sinful deeds that we do. The prophet became very aware of the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, those who chose to walk by his Spirit and turn their backs on the things of this world that kept their souls comfortable. The prophet became very aware of the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, those who chose to walk by his Spirit and turn their backs on the things of this world that kept their souls comfortable. So you're going to have to choose which way you go. You know, this is my druther. I really get tired of hearing people say, well, I went back into my sin again. You know, why don't you keep yourself covered? Why don't you get dosed again? You know, keep going to the Father and keep having him anoint you, having the Father anoint you so that you don't keep going back into that sin. Why don't you put your eyes on the things of God instead of on the things of the world? Well, I had another dream about perversion. Well, get your stupid mind straight. No condemnation, please. I'm just saying that there has to come a point in our walk with God where we don't have these things anymore. I don't know about you, but these songs that we sing, these songs are going in my mind all day. And you know, if I wake up in the middle of the night, they're on my mind. I hear the songs. If I'm out working on the computer studying, they're going through my head. I'm not playing them, but they're going through my head. And see, this is the way it should be. The things of God should be going through your head, not the things of what you would desire to do. All right? No condemnation now. You just have to be told you need to get it together. We're living in the days of Noah, and nobody went to heaven. Are you understanding this? And you're all sitting there, well, you know, I do deliverance. Well, big whoop, where are you going to end up at? I'm preaching the gospel. Well, you know, are you going to end up in heaven? Remember that God told me that one day, a couple of years, 4 or 5 years ago now, daughter, be careful lest when you preach to others, you yourself fall. Well, that got my attention really quickly. So I started watching what everything I was doing because, you know, God was right. I could fall. Come on. Doubt and unbelief will cause you to fall. So you have to be watching what you're doing every day. Your mind should be stayed on Christ every day. And then you won't fall. All right. We need to be aware that the pursuit of holiness is not the point pointing out of the faults of others. I just point out your faults. We need to be aware that the pursuit of holiness is not the pointing out of the faults of others, but individually, you know, us individually coming to the threshing floor and falling on our faces, asking him to have mercy and remove the chaff from our lives. How many of you do, I tell you, do that. You should do that every day. Maybe 2, 3, maybe you have to do 10 times a day, but however messed up your mind is. You need to do that. You need to go before the Father. Father God, please. All right, the day of the inauguration. I got so angry I couldn't even stand my own self. I had to apologize to everybody in the house. I said, please, I don't know what's wrong with me. I really believe it was the atmosphere. I believe it was the devil being angry at what went on. And I was doing, you know, I do homeschool Gabriel, and I was sitting there homeschooling him, and I had to keep praying, God, please take this anger from me. God, Gabriel said, Mom, you have yelled at me 20 times now. You know, and I said, honey, I'm really sorry that I was so agitated and so angry, and I had no reason to be. So, but I kept praying, God, please take this thing from me. I kept covering myself with the blood. I kept doing everything I could possibly do until finally it lifted. Are you seeing this? I just didn't sit there and say, oh, well, I don't know where this is coming from, so I guess, you know, it must be the devil. I'll just go ahead and let him act out of me. No. We have to do our part and set ourselves free. All right. All right, so I said, we need to be aware that the pursuit of holiness is not the pointing out of the faults of others, but individually coming to the threshing floor and falling on our faces, asking him to have mercy and remove the chaff from our lives. And Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, there it goes, say, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you're going to have to start walking in the Spirit somewhere, guys. Why not start today? You should have started a year ago. Amen. Come on. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We're supposed to be doing good to one another, not evil. We're not supposed to be trying to tear each other down. We're not supposed to be bringing lust in the house of God. We're not supposed to be doing a whole lot of junk that the house of God does. We're supposed to be walking in holiness and purity of heart. If we would just get this down in our spirits, you would be surprised at what God can do. You know, I said, God, you know, I talk to God all the time about this revival thing. But I said, God, it used to be just walk in the house of God and just things just flowed. He said, that's not the same anymore. And I understand that. But I think it should become something. I don't think we should walk around sick. I don't think we should walk around with perverted thoughts going through our head all the time. I don't think we should walk around bitter and angry. And I don't think we should do that. It didn't used to be that way. And I know God told me that we're doing, what are we doing? Exorcisms now because the big guys have come down from hell, up from hell to torment us. And I understand that. But it has to come to a place in our lives where we're walking so in the Spirit, the enemy can't touch us. And like I was telling... I got on my soapbox the other day, but I was telling Adam, I said, you know, I'm out there saying God heals and I'm sick. Now, what kind of testimony is that, right? You know, and God supplies all your needs and I'm counting pennies. That's not a testimony. That's not the way we're supposed to be walking. Come on. When I get an answer, I'll tell you what it was, all right? All right, we need to understand that the formation of Christ within his people involves the removal of much that has been planted in the minds and hearts of people by the world's fallen ways and by erroneous and false religious teaching. That doctrine junk is ridiculous. And religion just drives me up a wall. And God said religion has no place in his house. We're supposed to be walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, doing the things that God is calling us forth to do. This makes the transformation a process of tearing down the old before the new is established. And see, this is what God has been trying to do. He's been trying to yank everything out of us that's not of him, all that old junk that we're used to carrying around, so he can put in. He said, I'm trying to make you brand new wineskins so I can pour the new wine in you, because if I don't, you'll die when the glory hits you. But see, so many people are fighting God's change that he's trying to do in their lives, and he can't change anybody. I'm going to tell you what God told me. He gave me a two-page prophetic word this morning. But he said, those who he's been dealing with to repent and did not repent, now they're going to think, oh, I should have repented, and they're going to try to repent. He's not going to let them repent. He's going to make them go through a season of reaping what they've sown. And when he reduces them down to dirt from whence they came, then he's going to allow them to repent, and they're going to know that they've met their maker. That's a terrible word. He said, they sat in the house of God, and I talked to him and talked to him and talked to him about repenting, and they kept in their sin. They wouldn't repent. Now they won't be able to repent. So, you know, if you meet people who can't repent, it's because they sat in the house of God for years and years and years and wouldn't repent. So now you're going to have to reap what you've sown. God's going to reduce you to dirt. Then I'll raise you back up again. Amen. Come on. You just don't understand what kind of God that you serve. He's a mighty God, loving, forgiving, full of grace and mercy. But when he gets angry, how many of you, when you get angry, you get angry? Well, that's because you have the Father nature in you. Amen. And he's tired. He's tired of the days of Noah. We're supposed to be walking in righteousness and purity of heart and holiness. The new reality of Christ will instantly refill the places clean of the old. You always talk about getting rid of the old. So then the new reality of Christ will instantly refill the places cleaned of the old. But we must always remember that the removal of the old involves the person's will and is often a process over time. All right, I don't want none of you guys to... see what you just said. You've been sitting under this long enough to get something right. Right, Alan? Say yes. Say amen. Thank you. To get something right. Come on. You know, I've noticed in this house, you know, a lot of people come through these doors and they really get touched. But I noticed the minute you get yourself really, really turned around, the devil always sends a Jezebel to you. Male or female, always sends a Jezebel to you to tear you back down again. And you fall into the trap is the problem. And then it's really hard to work yourself back up again. So when you're getting yourself right, stay right. Tell your eyeballs that they look at Christ and Christ only. Tell your ears they only hear the voice of God and nothing else. Whatever it is you have to do, keep your eyes upon Christ. All right? All right, I said, but we must always remember that the removal of the old involves a person's will and is often a process over time. Now, don't tell me that in Noah's days it took 120 years. I don't want to hear that junk. God has a work to do. He's turning America around, and we don't have 120 years to get it together. All right? In this season of change, it is important to look forward to the goal God has in mind. Where we focus our spiritual eyes is where we will go. Where we focus our spiritual eyes is where we will go. If we look up to the mountain, we will go up. But if we only look where we are, we will not move. I call that a state of depression. You know, where you're just stuck. And you can't move no matter how much you want to. We need to thank God for everything he is doing, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And may his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that what God told us? He wants his kingdom to come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's been telling us that. So let's take our eyes off these dumb things of the world. Let's take our eyes off of what people are doing and saying to us and about us. And let's place our eyes back on Christ where they should have been all the time and refocus on him and then follow him with all of our hearts. All right? Today, there's an urgent need for spiritual overseers to shepherd the flock. Oh, I went too far, didn't I? All right. If we are going to become holy and remain holy, we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You're going to have to do that, guys. You know, last night God said to me, he said, come on, daughter, just run up Mount Everest and get on my lap. I thought that was sort of cool. Didn't say climb, just run up Mount Everest. He must think I have a lot of energy, right? And I'm saying the same thing to you. Just go ahead and climb that mountain and sit on his lap. Because he said, I have so much I want to reveal to you. And so every one of you in here, he has so much he wants to reveal to you. Because as I look around, every one of you will touch people's lives that I'll never see. You know? And so he wants every one of you to go up and sit on his lap so he can reveal to you what you're going to need for the people you're going to come in contact with. Today, there is an urgent need for spiritual overseers to shepherd the flock. Are you one of those spiritual overseers to shepherd the flock? That's the question. The young lady there, God told me last night when she's laying on the floor that we need to. Are you ordained? You are ordained? She needs ordained as a reverend, so you set her up, you know, afterwards, because God told me to do that to you. So I always do what God tells me to do. All right? Now, some of you in here this morning, you're not ready to shepherd a flock because you're not spiritual. You've allowed the enemy to come in and steal what God has given you or what he's done for you. Now, what God wants to do for you this morning is he wants to reconnect you with him spiritually. And when he reconnects you spiritually to him, he wants you to work at staying reconnected. He doesn't want you to ever, ever, ever allow the enemy to ever become between him and you. And I'm just hearing God say all this, and he said there's a divine appointment for each and every one of you in here this morning. It's up to you whether or not you have that divine appointment. Your eyes are going to have to be pure. Your mind and your thoughts are going to have to be pure. And you're going to have to work on walking a holy walk in order to receive this. Now, if you've been working really super hard at getting yourself together, then God wants to anoint you this morning for this divine appointment. Now, I didn't say you wouldn't slip and fall every now and then, and I don't even like to say that, because we have to come to a place. Jesus never slipped and fell. Once Peter got it together, he never slipped and fell. Paul, once he realized what God was doing to him, he never slipped and fell. Come on, we just use excuse after excuse. They suffered for the sake of Christ. They went all the way. If you talk, listen to Paul. Read about Paul. He spent more time in prison than he did out of prison. He was always running for his life. David, in the Old Testament, he only ever sinned the same sin one time. He never did it a second time. We do it and say, oh, I'm sorry, and then go do it again. Oh, I'm sorry. We go do it again. And you're not sorry at all. So quit that. You know, we have to stop this kind of junk that we do and call it, I don't know what we call it, what you call it. We have to make a decision. I'm going to follow the path you set before me, God. I'm going to keep my feet on that path. And by George, if I try to stray, slap me real hard. Keep my eyes glued upon you, Lord, and help me to overcome the enemy of my soul. Help me, Lord, to be the strong tower that you're calling me to be. And then you're going to have to do your part, too. God will be there to fight your battles, but you're going to have to do your fighting, too. I know I have to do my fight. I get so angry sometimes when I see the body of Christ, I like to slap you in the eyes. I mean, I can't believe you sit in the body of Christ and do the things you do. It's all I can do not to come to you and tell you what you're doing. So, you see, I have to fight that all the time. Then I go home and God and I really have a long talk. So, maybe you have to go and have a long talk with God about what you can't quite get rid of. Amen. God's there, and you'd be surprised if you just really sit down and have a long talk with God. You'd be surprised what he'll say to you. You'll be surprised how he will encourage you. You're thinking he's got a big whip he's going to smack you with. No, he's not. He encourages you. And you can tell by the sound of his voice whether or not he's pleased with you or not. Amen. I mean, he might be encouraging you, but like this, get yourself together voice, you know. But I enjoy that because I don't want my father to pretend I'm something that I'm not. I want him to let me know when I'm going astray. I want him to let me know if I might be headed for hell. Are you listening? Yeah, when he said, be careful that when you teach others, you yourself might fall. I'm so glad he told me that, because then I started watching everything I was doing. Then he said, daughter, don't let any man steal your crown. So I had to start watching that. See, he will tell you what the devil's trying to do to you if you're walking in holiness and if you're really sold out completely and totally to him. God's asking you, which way are you headed? Are you headed up or are you headed down? Are you headed sideways? Are you headed backwards? Which way are you headed? You're supposed to be heading forward, your eyes constantly fixed upon him, and quit looking to the right and to the left. Amen. Let's say this prayer together. We turn towards you, Father. Make us your own sons and daughters in this time. Help us to stand as your trees, with our roots in your word, watered by the river of your life, always bearing fruit. We put our confidence in you alone. You know, as we said, we read that about, you know, always bearing fruit. You know, if you know that your tree's no good, I mean, if your fruit is rotten, ask God to cut your tree down. Just ask him to cut your tree down. And you watch and see what God will do for you. There isn't one of you sitting here today that you want to stand before your maker the day you die and have him say, why did you love your rotten fruit? Why didn't you give that rotten fruit to me so I could cut that tree down and you could bear good fruit? All right? Now, I forgot what God said he wanted to do up here. What did he want to do? Somebody tell me. Give you divine anointing, huh? What? All right, we're going to reconnect. God said he wanted to reconnect you spiritually with him and then do what a divine appointment, anointing. So you have to remember this because God's speaking. I just rattle on. So the altar's open. If you want to be reconnected to God spiritually, if you know that somewhere along the line your little wires got crossed, he wants to reconnect you spiritually to him. Some of you just do not understand how powerfully God is going to use you. And as powerfully as he is going to use you, that's how powerfully the enemy is going to fight you. And you know, God said, some of you become battle weary. He said, as you go into his presence, he's going to refresh you and renew your mindsets and the way you're constantly thinking.